Come on. Here we go. I say, here we go. I'm here. Here we go. Here we go. Prime time. My time. All right, whatever. All right. Like I'm about to bust something. I'm here, man. We live. What's going on, man? I thought I was acting like I'm about to bust some hot fire. Midterms. Hot perm. Spray it with the germs. Get it all in your mouth. Take it to the north, then take it down south. Did you vote? Do you smoke dope? Did I vote? Stacey Abrams? Nope. I didn't vote. And I ain't gonna do it. I'm gonna fit this rhymes. Flow like fluid. Warnock. Herschel Walker. That nigga is a bad talker. Alright, what's up? Man, we're here. We're talking about the midterms, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the midterms. Man, y'all retweet this. Let everybody know that we're live right now, ladies and gentlemen. Let everybody know that we're live right now. We making it do what it do. We're chopping it up, man. A lot of stuff we're going to talk about on today's broadcast. We're talking about the midterms blame game. You know, they're pointing the blame and pointing the fingers right now. So we got to get into it. So listen, guys, y'all don't move a muscle. We're going to be right back, man. We're going to do a real quick commercial break, and I mean real quick. So y'all don't move a muscle. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Hey family, check out blackamericanmerch.com. That is your number one source for Black American themed apparel. They have hats, flags, all types of accessories that you need. They are independent and they are Black American owned. Shop with confidence with their wide selection of merchandise and be on the lookout for their pop-up events at a location near you. That is blackamericanmerch.com. Use the coupon code FBA to get 15% off on your next purchase. That's blackamericanmerch.com.
Hey, black nerds out there. Are you tired of nerdy platforms that refuse to acknowledge white supremacy and geek culture? Do you seek a black nerd podcast that not only covers nerdy topics such as anime, movies, video games, and TV shows, but also black empowerment? If so, then head over to the world's first and only black nerd empowerment podcast, The Swirly Nerd, on YouTube. Join the host, the TV guru, and Yuki Stoneman every Tuesday and Saturday on their mission to provide information and empowerment to black nerds everywhere. Again, that's Swirly Nerd. Swirly is spelled S-W-A-R-T-H-Y, nerd.com.
Check out my new album. It's titled Foundational Black America. Packed full of that woke critical race theory that's scary ya. See, we created hip-hop in this North American area, and we must protect our own before they erase and bury ya. Yet, reparations is still our number one criteria. I'm FPA all day. Foundational Black America. Check me out at BossCrilla.com. That's BossCrilla.com.
Have you been feeding your skin quality ingredients? Are you dealing with any type of skin condition such as eczema, hyperpigmentation, body acne, or discoloration? Here at Joy House Essentials, our triple whip shea butter is 100% handmade and whipped to perfection, guaranteeing results you will see and feel instantly. Give your skin the nourishment it deserves and stop using harmful, chemical-based products today. You can find us at www.thejoyhouseshop.net or give us a follow on Instagram at @JHEshop. Joy House Essentials, let's elevate together.
Stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Ogun juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at OgunJuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Max
juicing will strip hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juicing, don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Getting all this cash.
All right, we're here. We're back, guys. We're back. That wasn't too long. That wasn't too long at all. Man, how y'all doing, man? How's the family doing on this lovely evening? Glad to have you guys tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all retweet this. Let everybody know that we're live right now. Retweet this. Put this on your social media. Put it on your Facebook. We are in here. Speaking of social media, did y'all see on Twitter, they are allowing people, if you buy Twitter Blue, you can get a verification badge. And what happens is if you put the clicker over the badge, it will tell you if the person has the badge because they're a notable public figure or an official, or if they are a subscriber to Twitter Blue. Now, this is a good and a bad thing. It could be a good and a bad thing. The good thing is people can get the verification button and you can be considered legit to a certain degree, but also you can have a bunch of people who are phonies. I hope they do something about that. I hope they don't get a bunch of fakers, you know, people acting like they're certain public figures or they are the representatives of somebody and they misrepresent people. You dig? If anybody can kind of buy a verification thing, that might lend to some problems later on down the line. Let's say somebody mentions an organization and then somebody runs and makes a Twitter page based off an organization that somebody mentions. Let's say that one of us say we're going to start a Feed the Hungry Kids of Boston fund, and then somebody makes a Twitter page, Feed the Hungry Kids of Boston, and then get a verification badge, and people think that that's the legit organization, and then they start talking greasy. They start talking about kidnapping kids or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You never know. What if a troll gets a hold of one of these brand names and creates a page? So they're going to have to really tighten that up and figure out how they're going to work that kink out, because I can see problems like that happening in the future. Somebody with a verification badge pretending to be somebody and then they start talking reckless. And the thing is, it'll get out there in the media, and by the time you figure out that it's a troll, the damage might be done. You dig? You know, my brother Chingy, the rapper Chingy, he recently did an interview, and he did an interview with me when we did Ism Radio some years ago, talking about similar slander when the transgender man named Sydney Starr, I think that's the name of the person. There's a transgender person, this dude who's now a woman named Sydney Starr, and Sydney Starr does what does Sydney Starr do? I think Sydney Starr was trying to rap and then doing pornographic OnlyFans. I don't know. I don't know what the title of Sydney Starr is, but a while back, Sydney Starr put out a rumor that Sydney Starr was sexually involved with Chingy. And it was a deliberate lie, and that kind of put a stain on my brother's career to a certain degree. He said, you know, that stigma kind of messed up a record deal for him. And Sydney Starr later came out and apologized and like, yeah, I'm just trolling. I'm just trying to get some clout, whoop-de-whoop. But damn, the damage is done. You see what I'm saying? Somebody say some nonsense like that and just put some stuff out there like that and, you know, puts a stigma over somebody who don't want that stigma. And my man doesn't have a problem with people in the LGBT community or whatever. But just to say that you're in a relationship with a brother who has a record deal and he's a hip hop star and he's known as a sex symbol to the ladies, and then you put that out, you know, so that puts a cloud over people and you know you're lying. So yeah, that damages people to a certain degree, and then you circle back, oop, my bad, I was just trying to get clout. Well, the damage is done, you see. So Twitter has to be very careful about situations where people can say things and put things out there, and then that verification badge gives it an air of legitimacy, you see. So we got to watch out for stuff like that. We got to watch out for things like that. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people are still talking about the FBA rally for reparations. People are still buzzing off that. People are still high off the phenomenal rally we had this past weekend. It was just this past weekend. Absolutely phenomenal. And what's interesting, man, people want to, they want another event already. People already want to do another event. And I want to get some ideas from the family. I want to get some ideas from the family. And by the way, let me show some stuff. What's interesting at at the Rally for Reparations this weekend, you know, a lot of the people in the mainstream media, they're trying to be quiet about it. But they can't. You can't ignore it. You can't ignore what happened. You can't ignore the success of that rally. And let me tell you something. There were four main things that was accomplished with the rally. There were four main things that were accomplished. Two of the things that we accomplished, it was for the rest of society to acknowledge. The other two things, and there are many things that were accomplished. I'm just talking about the main four things. The other things was for us as a community. Excuse me. The first thing that the rally accomplished was to kill the narrative that they're now putting out because of the midterms. They like to say, well, the black community just wasn't as motivated to come out and support these politicians. They always say that when some of these elections don't go the way they want them to go. They like to say, well, the black people just weren't as motivated to get out there. And let me say this. Yes, we were. This rally that we had Saturday proved that black people are motivated to get out there, hit the streets, hit the pavement. Black folks showed up by the thousands. We are motivated, but we're motivated to get out here and stump for something tangible. You see? This is sending a clear message. They're not going to use that lie that we're not motivated. No, we are motivated. Look at us over here. We are motivated. Somebody said, well, did Lisa Ray speak about it on the news? But listen. Listen, we were motivated. We are motivated. We are motivated. And we showed up, showed out, and represented Saturday. So we will hit the streets if it's something tangible for us. That's one of the messages that we're sending. Another message, the second message that it sent, it showed us, each other, as foundational black Americans, how to actually get out here and get on code out here in the streets. Do y'all understand me, family? This showed us how to really, really, really physically get on code with one another and the power of codification. We were out there, man. It was such a phenomenal, positive vibe. And there were little things, and I've talked about this before, little weird stuff going on. Our vibe was so constructive, we didn't allow the weirdness to interfere with the vibe. You understand? When you're on code, you're unstoppable. When you get together with other progressive-minded black people and you have an agenda, all of the other nonsense gets thrown by the wayside. It doesn't even get in the mix. The trolls or whatever, their presence doesn't even get acknowledged. I've been seeing stuff that has happened at the rally now after the fact that was very interesting. I think my sister Jade sent me this video here. Yeah, this is on Jade's page. Let me show you guys something. Because there were a lot of interesting figures lurking around. Again, we had a couple of little Jeffrey Dahmer looking dudes and a couple of other ops lurking around during the rally. Like this guy right here. I found out about this guy. They said that this white guy approached a brother standing in front of them talking about weed. Then he pulled out a bottle of hemp oil to try to sell. So the brothers kind of surrounded him and got him off the block. Look at this. Hold on. This is codification right here, guys. All right. That right there is called codification. All right. So, yeah, while we're doing our thing on stage, got these weird dudes, weird white dudes out here trying to sell some kind of narcotic. What the hell is that? And the dude, look at this dude. This dude looks like such a damn op, a fed, an undercover. So no telling what he was trying to do, what he was trying to sell or whatever. He probably could have sold something very illicit, probably wasn't no hemp oil, and had some other alphabet jump out boys run out there talking about, hey, you guys are selling dope out here. But they got him up out of there, though. You see? Wasn't nobody trying to feel that vibe. We weren't on that time. We weren't on that. Nobody was on that. You see? That's called codification. They see a group of black people. All somebody white has to do is come on in there talking about some dope or some weed or whatever and try to make a little undercover drug deal. It wasn't that kind of energy, family. Yeah, that looked like a damn narc, didn't it? No telling. And even what if he was trying to sell some legit hemp, what? Don't take it. Nobody was about to do no narcotic from this random dude at an empowerment rally. That's the last thing we're going to do. No telling what that stuff could have been laced with. You ding? But yeah, this dude had narc written all over his damn face. But I'm showing you, family, this is codification. When you get on code, you don't allow negatives to come in your mix when everybody's on code. This is what codification means. This was a great thing, and I want this type of energy to maintain and remain within our society. Being codified, when we see outsiders coming around progressive circles, we don't allow them to bring anything negative because they love doing that around us. The third thing that was very important, family, that we accomplished is that we discussed strategies on how to cultivate our own candidates. All right. That was very important. We had a brother Marcel, who's a candidate. We had a sister from Tulsa. I think she's in the political sphere. We had my brother Red Grant out there in DC. He's running for mayor in DC. There were some other black people who were there. They didn't get on stage, but there were some within the audience who are in the political sphere, and we were chopping it up with them. And we were all just going over ways to cultivate our own candidates so that they can go in office with our agenda. We're cultivating candidates that we can get to know, that we can vibe with, who come from the grassroots with us, people that we can get out here and have trust in. And we were talking about ways to cultivate them. My sister Jade even has some documents, and she spoke on this at the rally, the five pillars of reparations. I think we have a text version of that we're circulating around. Our sister Teslin had a text version of some of the bullet points that she hit on. And you can see that on her Twitter page. We're going to start putting a lot of this stuff on the official FBA site so that people can get it. And the fourth thing that was very important that we accomplished is that we're letting the dominant society know that we're putting a stop to this benign neglect policy. This policy of benign neglect, where we talk around black issues, where we talk about black issues in the realm of minority coalitions and people of color and poverty groups and all of these vague, ambiguous terms. We're not doing that. No. We're not doing benign neglect. We're going to stop the benign neglect policy. We're going to start talking about and making people discuss black issues very specifically and what we need tangibly. We're talking about what black people need, particularly foundational black Americans, and what we need from a tangible perspective. All of this talking in circle stuff, it ain't working no more. We're not doing that. And this rally help get that message across. And there were so many other things that were accomplished, but those were some of the four biggest takeaways from that. And like I said, man, so many people enjoyed it, and so many people wish they could have come. They're like, we're ready for the next event. Well, the next big event, it's not going to be one centralized location. We're doing the movie. The movie is coming out. But what I want to do, family, I'm going to get some ideas from you guys. I'm going to get some ideas from the family. This is what I'm thinking. Because what inspired me at the rally, I saw children, and one little girl in particular, this little 8-year-old girl who was an entrepreneur, so smart, so articulate. And I said, people like this, little children like this, we have to cultivate these children. We have to protect them. We have to give them and others an avenue and a vehicle to promote what they have and promote their products. What I want to do, guys, I want us to put together a convention event. This could almost be like the follow-up to the FBA convention that we did in 2020, because we didn't do a follow-up because, you know, the COVID thing was still going, and we wanted to wait until that kind of cleared up. So now that that's clear, we can do another FBA convention, festival, however we want to frame it. You know, we're controlling it, so we can frame it the way we want to frame it. So what I'm thinking, guys, I would like to do, this is just my initial thoughts, and I want everybody to chime in, and you can email me or chop it up here. I want to do another convention, bigger. I want to probably do it in Dallas, because Dallas has always showed me a lot of love. I've only done one event in Dallas. Dallas is a beautiful city, man, and Dallas has always, 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 always showed me a lot of love. Just something about Dallas. I've always wanted to do something just to show love and respect to Dallas. And shout out to Teslin in the room. Yeah, Revolt TV. Me and her might be having a show on Revolt TV pretty soon, so that will be a beautiful thing. And then if we do that, we're going to have a big premiere party down in Atlanta. But this is my thing. Dallas. Okay, I'm talking about Dallas, guys. The FBA Expo. I like that. I like that name. The FBA Expo. But family, listen, I love Dallas. Dallas shows me so much love. Every time I do a movie down there, the first city that sells out is Dallas, man. My books sell out there. Dallas always show me love, man. The city of Dallas shows me so much love. And many other cities do, too. I'm not going to negate other cities. But Texas always shows me love. I got a lot of love out of Texas. And plus, Dallas is a very easy city to go to. It's a very quick flight from all over the place. It's one of those cities where, you know, every flight is less than 3 hours, basically. You can get to Dallas from anywhere in about 3 hours. So it's a centralized location. Somebody said Detroit. We'll do Detroit some other time, but Dallas. And I love Detroit, by the way, but Dallas. I'm really feeling Dallas. I'm really feeling Dallas, guys. I'm feeling Dallas. We do a convention, do an expo down there, where we get the vendors' booths so that a lot of black businesses around the world, just like we did at the FBA conference, we had so many black businesses with vendor booths all over the place. So we just do that on steroids, just have a lot of black vendors, and then we bring some on stage to showcase them. That's another thing, to showcase the vendors and almost give them an award. And also probably give them a grant to help expand their businesses. Also, we have like a whole day, like workshops, man. We have holistic workshops. I can bring Brother Dehudi Mayad Ra down. We can probably get Queen Afua, bring her down. Have people talking about holistic health. Have one workshop, then have another workshop where we get Teslin to talk about the political game and political strategies and people who want to get in office. Have that popping. Have another panel or workshop about education, setting up charter schools or setting up black independent schools, what you need to know, stuff like that. Oh, man, there's so many different avenues we can go. Have the workshops, the speakers, have and at night, turn up, have a musical group. You understand? Just make it a big expo. Just make it a real thing. Shit, let's get some musical groups. You dig? Well, let's get Keith Sweat to come through. You know, make it fly. Get Keith Sweat. Let's get Cisco. Anybody. I'm just throwing some names out here. Let's just make this thing a whole hot ass day, just from from sunrise to sundown, just make this thing all the way hot. And, you know, we're doing lectures and speeches throughout the day. Just make it a real fly thing, man. While we're showcasing the businesses, also we can have a thing where we can award a grant, a college grant to kids. Again, man, there's so many things we can do. The FBA Expo, just make it a whole all-day event. Make it an all-day event and just make it real fly. All grassroots controlled, you dig? Yeah, food trucks, you dig? But we'll probably have it inside, but we'll see. And that's the thing, we got to find venues out there that will let us, you know, have folks with food and all that. We'll work all that stuff out because it's going to be an indoor event. I definitely want to have it indoor. Yeah, we can bring Genuine down there and have him do his thing. You dig? Somebody said, get the whispers. Let's get the, somebody. We get whisper, whatever. Somebody said, Juneteenth weekend. That might be a good idea. You know what? That might be a good idea. Juneteenth weekend? Well, look, I don't want to coincide with the Essence Festival, though. All right? I don't want to do it right around the same time as the Essence Festival. I want to kind of do it before then. You feel me? Somebody said, bring Tevin Campbell. Well, Tevin, I don't think Tevin likes me. Because Tevin cursed me out before. So I don't think... I would love Tevin. I like Tevin. Tevin cursed me out. Yeah. Somebody said, Christopher Williams. Didn't he just get out of a coma? So now, I don't know if Christopher Williams' health is in order. Somebody said, Erykah Badu. Yeah, I love Erykah Badu. Erykah Badu was out there in Texas. Yes. I think that would be great. Wouldn't that be fly? Just make it a real... Somebody said make it a whole weekend. I think we can get everything popping in a day. Let's just get it popping in a day. We can get it just an all-day event from sunup to sundown. We can make the whole thing pop off that whole day. You didn't? I think we can make it pop off that day. Somebody said bring Frankie Beverly and Maze. Yeah, somebody said bring Percy Earl. But yeah, I think that would be phenomenal. Oh, is Al B. Sure in the coma? Okay. I think that would be absolute. Wouldn't that be phenomenal, guys? Wouldn't that be phenomenal? I think that would be, yeah, Erykah Badu is from Dallas. I think that would be a phenomenal thing. Now, let me ask my Dallas people. Let's just, come on, man, y'all. You know, let's sell it to me. Let me know, Dallas. I want my Dallas people to let me know. There's something that y'all want to rock with out there in Dallas? If so, let me know some of the venues in Dallas that's good. I want my Dallas people who know Dallas real well. Let me know the venues and the areas so that, you know, we got to let folks know what areas are what. So my Dallas people, hit me up. Let me know the venues out there that would facilitate something like this. Let me know some of the venues out there, Dallas, that would be best for. Yeah, man, look, I got so much love in Dallas, man. I got love for. We got the radio station hookups down there, so we can make this thing huge in Dallas. Shout out my brother Peter Guns is out there in Dallas. My girl Claudia Jordan is out there in Dallas. I think she's still out there. So, yeah, I know a lot of folks out there in Dallas. Got a lot of love from Dallas. Dallas would be a great place, man. A lot of good, progressive black folks out there. I think it would be fly. Y'all let me know, Dallas people, what's a venue that we can get that... What, how many people? What, 5,000 people, I would say? A venue that would fit around 5,000. We'll say 5,000. We can squeeze 5,000 people in. What's a good venue that we can squeeze 5,000 people in and just have it pop off like that? Y'all let me know, all my Dallas people. And again, man, all my business folks, because I really want to have my black business people. If you got businesses, we want to get you signed on to come on through. Because we did the same. We did something similar down at the FBA convention in Atlanta. We had a lot of wonderful vendors, and people love the vendors. And it's like, man, this is a phenomenal way to promote your business. Our vendors were just selling out of all of their products, just like boom. They were selling out. Remember the red velvet cake lady? That sister kept selling out so much. She had to go keep baking cupcakes. This sister had these bomb-ass Red Velvet cupcakes, and she just kept literally selling out every 20 minutes, and they had to go back to the hotel and bake some more and keep coming back. So we want to get folks through, make them, have them come through, have them prepared with all of their products so that you can get your stuff on out there so people can see who you are. You dig? Dallas, 10,000. Yeah, I think we can get about 10,000 on minimum. I think we can get a minimum of 10,000, but I would say let's get a venue, you know, that fits 5 or 10,000. The Forest Theater out there. Yeah, let's find the Dallas Convention Center. Okay. Y'all, my Dallas people, let me know what you know out there in Dallas, and let's see what we can do, man. Possibly, when can we do this? What's so around May, I'm thinking we can probably get something going around May. You dig? So we're bringing the Bean Pie Man. Yeah, the Bean Pie Man from D.C. Shout out to ZZ, her dad. Yeah. So again, Dallas is a very central location. It's near everything. So all my New Orleans people, Houston people, California people, that's only a couple hour flight. Alabama, Memphis, right there. Atlanta, that's like, what, a couple of hours? You dig? So I think we can make that happen, man. I think that'll be a beautiful event because I want to see some of the black vendors that we have, man. I like to see what you guys got going on. And I want us to start really, really focusing on business, economic stability, so that we can better combat situations like the Kyrie Irving situation. You see, one of the reasons why I'm so big on black entrepreneurs is because when we become too dependent on the dominant society, they dangle the money in front of you like a carrot and try to make you buck dance and bow down. I want us to get off that. I want us to have backup plans or a backup base or just a general base where we can depend on our own people for economic sustenance, man. Because what they're doing to Kyrie, and I'm glad that so many people are speaking out against it. Even some of the Sambos are starting to speak out. Have y'all noticed that? The way they're doing Kyrie, when they gave Kyrie those 6 points and all those six things he had to do before he got to play, he has to apologize and condemn the movie and then meet up with Jewish leaders and then go to a sensitivity training course. Now, even Shannon Sharp and Stephen A. Smith and all of these dudes are saying, hey, I criticized the guy, but that's too much. Now I'm saying, hey, that's a bridge too far. That's going overboard. Now, even they are saying, hey, this is too much. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows that that's just way too much. They see what this is really about. This ain't about somebody being a bigot. This is about making an example out of this guy. This is all about buck breaking. Even buck breaking was trending earlier. People are using the term buck breaking because that's what it is. This is nothing but buck breaking. And many of us are standing up against that. And the reason why they're trying to buck break him, because they're using their economy. They're dangling that money in front of them. Like, hey, if you don't bow down, we're not going to give you this money that we owe you. You see, if you don't grovel to us, we're not going to give you your salary. We're not going to let you make a living in this arena. So family, we got to get in the habit of being business people, being self-sufficient and looking to each other for our business endeavors. Oh yeah, Sharpton. Somebody mentioned Sharpton. Did y'all see him buck dancing? Yeah, see, this is why I want to get to my young folks out here, because a lot of the old Negroes, man, they've thrown in the towel. Where's Sharpton? Somebody brought that up. Let me show that clip of Sharpton. Here's Sharpton. Right here speaking on Kyrie. This is y'all boy Sharpton right here. Listen to Sharpton. Hold on. This is Sharpton. Hold on.
People calling it a lashing. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that we need to really be careful that those of us that have fought racism in the black community,
that we cannot in any way, even inadvertently, normalize being bigots against others. And I think that, I'm not saying anything other than we've got to be consistent. And if people say things wrong, they need to be held to the same account that we hold when people say things wrong about us. And as far as, some of them getting angry that some of us are saying we shouldn't say that, they have to get angry. We fight against bigotry of all forms, and bigotry cannot be normalized, and victims cannot say that they're going to victimize others.
Right. Now, do you think that Kyrie is going to kind of, being reprimanded?
Okay. So, Kyrie didn't say he was going to victimize anybody. What is he talking about? Al got pink oil moisturizer and butter biscuit crumbs. Kyrie never talked about victimizing anybody, never said anything bigoted towards anybody. I don't respect that. Kyrie said nothing bigoted. He didn't say anything bigoted or talk about hurting anybody. That's just so I might not say so. And Al is towing the line for the dominant society. This is why, family, we have to start learning the importance of being self-sufficient. We have to make this a part of our mantra. We have to drive that energy into our people, us looking to each other to sustain each other with an economic base. That's why it's so important for us to promote Black businesses. We need to know who the Black people are, who we can go to, who we can support. We need to let people know who we are. If you are a business person, you need to let people know who you are so that they can patronize your business, so that you can have a community in which to sustain yourself. We really have to be on this vibe, man. We really, really, really have to be on this vibe. And that's where it comes down to us having products, having materials, having services that are competitive, comparative, and exceeding of the dominant society. When we put our stuff out there, it has to be thorough. And that's the thing, family. If you are thorough, and if you put your heart, you put your soul, and you put your energy, and you try to make your service and you make your products the best you can make them, people are going to patronize your stuff. People are going to feel that, and people are going to want to utilize whatever you have going on. So we need to let everybody know who's who. You dig? So this is why we're definitely going to have an event, a convention, an expo. Let's throw some ideas around so we can flesh it out and execute it the proper way. But I definitely want to do it in Dallas. I want to do this in Dallas. The spirit is telling me we need to go to Dallas. I go where the spirit tells me. The spirit keeps telling me Dallas, Dallas, Dallas. We got to do something out there in Dallas. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as you know, right now the midterms going on right now. The midterms are happening. And some of the Democrats are kind of complaining. Like Florida, they got the Democrats up out of Florida just all the way. Now, Florida is already a red state, but damn, boy, the Democrats got toe up in Florida. They just flipped Florida all the way red, damn near. What was the sister down in Florida? What was her name? I can't think of her name. It was a sister down there. She's out. And Georgia, all eyes are on Georgia right now. You know, this Stacey Abrams, because Georgia's a very important state. Georgia's a very important battleground state. So all eyes are on Georgia. They like to see what's happening with Georgia. Georgia's very important. And the big race was going to be Stacey Abrams against Brian Kemp. Stacey Abrams lost bigly. It wasn't even close. She lost, took a major L, and right now, Warnock is going up against Herschel Walker, and they're neck and neck, and they have to do a runoff in December. They have to do a, Val Deming, They got Val Deming out of there. Yeah, Val Demings. That's her name. They got Val Demings out of there. Stacy lost. Yes, she did. So, Warnock had the help of Obama. Obama went down there stumping for Warnock. That's how important Georgia is. Georgia is a very important battleground state. They had Obama down there stumping for Warnock, and Warnock still didn't win yet. Warnock still could not beat Herschel Walker. You dig? So now, immediately when Stacey Abrams lost, boy, they jumped online and started blaming black men immediately. They didn't even wait 24 hours. They did not wait 24 hours. They started going in on black men, ladies and gentlemen. Let me show y'all some of the tweets that were going on. Let me show you guys some of the tweets. Hold on. Where are the tweets? Where are the tweets? Where are we? Hold on. All right, here we go. Let me show y'all some of these tweets. I got to make the page smaller, but hold on. Let me show y'all this. Look at some of these tweets. I mean, immediately when Stacey Abrams lost, black men are effing disappointing. Y'all literally didn't vote for Stacey Abrams. Y'all are sick. The problem in Georgia is black men when it comes to this election. Y'all hate that a black woman is running so bad that y'all even don't go vote or y'all keep bashing Stacey Abrams for appealing to all black demographics as a scapegoat. It's the black men constantly on this app belittling a black woman and stating they did not vote for Stacey Abrams. Y'all so misogynistic, it's disgusting. Why do all of these broads have the same goofy look? Black men in Georgia, since your sorry asses couldn't be bothered to get Stacey Abrams to the government mansions, to the governor's mansion, F you, Killer Mike, you best help Rev Warnock if there's a runoff. Damn you all. Okay, these people are talking crazy. And then that's another thing. They were trying to go in on my brother Killer Mike because Killer Mike, he met with Brian Kemp and just heard what he had to say. So they tried to attack Killer Mike and stop it. It's Killer Mike's fault. No, it ain't nobody's fault. Stop it. It's Stacey Abrams' fault. Y'all not going to play that game. Y'all not going to do that. And they're trying to use Killer Mike as basically a proxy for all black people, black men in particular. No, y'all not doing that. Y'all not going to do that at all. The problem is, well, Stacey Abrams, she's the problem. And here's the thing. They came out with a poll saying, hey, a lot of black men actually did vote for Stacey Abrams. A lot of black men in Georgia did actually come out and they did vote. It was really the white people who didn't vote. And what's interesting, Stacey Abrams was going around so much telling black folks what she can't do for us and talking about prioritizing all the Latinos. Remember? She was talking about what she's going to do for Latinos and all this stuff. And the Latinos out there in Georgia, 46% of the Latino voters voted for Brian Kemp. You dig? All these Latinos that the Democrats keep prioritizing, y'all sit up here and try to play this benign neglect game on us and prioritize these damn Latinos, and the Latinos turn around and vote Republican on your ass. And then y'all run to black men at the fourth quarter, talking about where we at. No. It don't work like that. See, the Democrats, they play this janky game where they not only neglect us year-round, they neglect us for 4 years, every 4 years. They just neglect us for the whole 4 years, for the whole election cycle. Not only do they neglect us, they denigrate us. They sit here neglecting and denigrating black men all day, every day. How we ain't shit and we're the criminals and we're misogynistic and we're toxic and we're ashy and we're all of this stuff. I mean, look at some of the terms. This is another woman. Georgia really failed Stacey Abrams. There's no reason why she should have been running behind Warnock. I blame Killer Mike and those ashy ass black men who listen to him. You didn't. We get this nonsense. So all year, well, all 4 years, black men ain't shit. We're toxic. We got toxic masculinity. We're dusty. We're misogynistic. We're jealous of black girl magic. We're jealous of Zaddy. You dig? They just denigrate black men nonstop right until election night. And then when election night pop up at the last hour, hey, where the black men's at? Where y'all at, black men's? Where y'all, I heard y'all been getting some misinformation and shit. Where the black men's at? Y'all supposed to be here. Where y'all at now? I'm over here being toxic. That's where I am. I'm over here minding my toxic business, not voting for your ass. That's where I am. Yeah, I'm over here being dusty and ashy. Trying to find lotion as far away from the voting booth as possible because I'm not voting for your ass. That's what I'm doing. Don't come hollering, we're black men at the last damn minute. Now, let's be clear. Let's be clear because what they're saying now is that, well, there are a lot of white men who just didn't vote for Stacey Abrams because they know the blame the black man thing. They realize that's not going to work because, see, they've been trying to attack black men. But here's the problem. Somebody probably pulled their coat and said, hey, wait a minute. We know y'all hate these niggas, but y'all better understand the runoff is happening in a couple of months. So we still need these niggas. So let's not shoot yourselves in the foot so fast. We still need these niggas to come out and vote for Warnock. Because y'all sitting up here denigrating black men, just saying how you really feel. They're like, no, we're going to need them niggas for December. No, calm down. You see? See, they're trying to play that game now. See, they're playing their card too heavy. They're going to need black men to come and try to save Warnock, and I'm going to let him burn. I say let Warnock's ass burn. Let him crash and burn. Who gives a damn? You think? Because, yeah, this runoff is about to go down in Georgia between Herschel Walker and Warnock, and this is about to be very interesting. You think? But we're not going for the okey-doke, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going for it. We're saying, nah, we're going to sit some of this stuff out. You're not going to denigrate us and then try to get us to pull through at the last minute on some where the black men's at. And boy, when I talk about, boy, they got the heavyweights out here trying to condemn black men. They got that one chick. Remember Professor Kronk? Oh, God, I hate that woman's name. Professor Kronk. Boy, she was out here. I'm going to play a clip of her, but they're running, their campaign strategies are garbage. They have these garbage campaign strategies. This one, they get one of their strategies, all of that no bucking, no voting nonsense. And what they do, they get these TikTok people to try to shame us into voting and all of this weird stuff. Like, look at this. They got this chick right here with her ratchet routine. All right, this chick right here, they got her doing her little ratchetness, trying to basically shame us into voting. Hold on, let me play a clip of this real quick. Hold on 1 second. Let's see if y'all can hear this. Hold on. Wait.
Did you vote yet? That's my thing. Like, I've been trying to figure out if the girls and the boys is voting. Like, did you vote? Did you vote for Stacey Abrams? Yes or no? Do you care about Georgia? Do you care? Do you even care? Because the only people not voting is the people that don't care. It looked like y'all want Brian. It looked like y'all want Brian as governor. Brian? Really? The one that's trying to stop abortion and shit after 6 weeks? First of all, try to control woman pussy. Stop trying to control our pussy, please. Did you vote yet?
Hold on.
Listen, I'm going to need y'all to go and vote. That's it. I've got nothing else to tell y'all today, but just go vote. Make sure you're getting your voice out there. Make sure you're voting. please. Your vote matters. Don't let nobody tell you that your vote doesn't matter. Don't let nobody say, oh.
By the way, guys, this girl is Nigerian. She's not FBA. No, she's not FBA. She's Nigerian. She is Nigerian. She is not FBA.
Your one vote don't really count. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. First of all, shut up. Sound dumb. Go vote. Before you wake up and not know what's going on. Because you ain't cast your vote. Go vote for Stacey Abrams, actually. If we're being real specific, that's how true it is. Go vote for Stacey Abrams.
Okay, now listen, guys. This woman is not FBA. She is Nigerian. She's from New York. She is Nigerian. You see all of this gesticulations and all of this. She's trying to be over the top, trying to act like a sassy FBA. This is a non-FBA woman, over the top, trying to be ratchet, acting like a stereotype that the Democrats then got this woman. They didn't. What they do, they get these TikTok folks, slide them a couple of dollars and have them do this performative nonsense. This ratchetness. This is what I despise. Whenever they got somebody talking to us, y'all gonna let them control our pussy? Come on, man. Come on. Come on. That ain't it. That ain't it at all. Now, let me play that Professor Crunk lady. Now, y'all know how I feel about that Professor Crunk. I forgot what her real name is. Her name is Brittany something. I forgot. So this woman right here, she's the Democratic shill who, boy, when I say she hates black men, that woman despises black men. That woman despises black men with a passion. But this is her right here talking about black males. This is Professor Crunk. All right. Now listen to this woman here. Hold on one second. Let's listen to Professor Crunk talk about voting and black men and all that.
Those in our community beset by the kinds of spirits that seek to destroy us. We need to think robustly, just for instance, about the demon of disinformation.
I want y'all to hear what this woman is saying. She's talking about the spirits of the men in the community, the demons of disinformation. She's in a church, right? Looks like she's in a church. Hold on.
There are those in our community beset by the kinds of spirits that seek to destroy us.
She's talking about black men. She's talking about black men are possessed with a spirit that seeks to destroy us, meaning what, the women?
We need to think robustly, just for instance.
This is one of these angry black male hating, quote unquote, black feminist. I mean, y'all don't understand the hatred this woman has for black men.
About the demon of disinformation that permeates our communities and that renders some of our most vulnerable men, our most visible men, the Kanyes and Kyries, the Drakes. Keep Megan Pete's name out. Okay. The old people won't get it, but the young people do. The Drakes and Tory Lanezes of the world, foaming at the mouth, rapidly spouting anti-Semitic, anti-black, anti-feminist, anti-factual statements.
Do y'all hear this, fool?
We need to talk about the demon of disinformation that has black male voters in Georgia willing to support Raphael Warnock, but not Stacey Abrams.
So now black.
Wait. What kind of church is that? These don't look like no FBA sisters. What kind of church is that? These don't look like no FBA sisters. Wait, I just noticed that. Wait a minute. What kind of church is this, man? Yeah, these don't look like no FBA sisters, man. Come on, take a good look at this. What kind of church is this? What kind of church is this, family? Hold on. I got questions. Because, yeah, saying this don't look FBA to me. FBA sisters don't go to church looking like this. FBA sisters don't go to church looking like, is this like an LGBT church or whatever? LGBT? Is it one of them kind of churches? What kind of church is this? What is this, one of them alternative lifestyle churches? What is Professor Crunk Haitian? Because I don't think she don't seem like she's FBA, but this doesn't look like an FBA church right here. Dude, I done gone to FBA churches since I was a baby. Sisters don't be up in no church looking like this. FBA sisters don't be in churches looking like this, guys. You feel me? Somebody say, is it a church's chicken? Is this what? It's a church's chicken. So I got questions, guys. That's Howard University's church. Oh. That's Howard University's. The church is LGBT. Oh. Are y'all sure? Y'all let me know, because I don't know what goes on over there in Howard University. I don't know what goes on up there in Howard University, but right, that don't look, that's not FBA right there, family. Yeah, that's not FBA right there. These are not FBA folks. I can tell these are not FBA people, man. Up in a church looking like this, FBA women don't go to church looking like this. That's one thing about FBA women. FBA women gonna go to church, the hair is gonna be laid all the way. When an FBA woman goes up in a church, especially in the choir, their hair is going to be on hit. If anything going to be on hit, the hair is going to be on hit. You dig? If an FBA sister is up in a church in a choir, the hair is going to be on hit, man. I'm telling y'all, this don't look right. You dig? This is interesting. But just some of the stuff she's saying. The demons of disinformation, and get the hell out of here. Yeah, that Professor Crump, I mean, that woman hates black men with a passion. Remember a few years ago, she was talking about if we don't vote, she and other women gonna go on a sex strike. Remember that? She played herself and got clowned because she's talking about she gonna go on a damn sex strike. Ma'am, that is not a bargaining chip. All right. You already on a sex strike. Ain't nobody trying to hit that. You already on a strike, ma'am. Niggas are already boycotting that pussy already. So, ma'am, that's not a bargaining chip. Niggas are boycotting that already. They boycotting that ass. Nobody's trying to hit that. And you know it. Stop it. But these people are getting ridiculous with it. This blame the black man stuff. Blame the black man. Blame the black man. This blame the black man game. See, the reality is, look, a lot of the voter turnout, the black voter turnout, is actually down, and they know it. They know that the black voter turnout was lower than they expected. There's a reason why Warnock cannot beat Herschel Walker and Stacey Abrams got swept out. I don't think it was just that a lot of black men voted and white men voted. No. I think there was some low voter turnout among black people in general. I think there was low voter turnout, and they kind of don't want to admit that in certain places, but they have to admit it in others. They know that the voter turnout was lower than expected. You dig? It was lower because black folks are starting to say, hey, man, we need tangibles. I mean, let's keep it a buck. Let's look at some of the articles that's coming out, because they keep trying to spin this stuff right here. Here's an article right here. Let me show this. Georgia turnout boss. Stacey Abrams had a turnout problem. Yes, she did. People weren't turning out like they thought they were. This just came out. Yeah, there's a turnout problem. That's a reality. We're asking for tangibles. We're not running out there with the capes on like we used to. You see? They know it. They know it. And don't think for a minute they didn't see that march that we had in D.C. last week. Don't think for a minute they didn't see that. Don't think for a minute that didn't have an impact. They know it did. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, they can try to play coy if they want to. They know that that thing had an impact. Y'all better understand. Listen, when Stacey and I'm not Stacey, but Herschel and Warnock, I mean, some of these guys, when they were going back and forth with the polls, the numbers coming in, some of the numbers were, you know, they were like real, real close. I mean, like a few thousand votes between themselves. You dig? The votes were very, very close. It's still close now. The votes are very close. You dig? Within a few thousand to a certain degree. So you better understand, if we got a few thousand people to show up in D.C. to talk about how they're not going to vote until they get some tangibles, you better believe that that's significant, because those are just the thousands of people who showed up. Let's also count in the other tens of thousands of people who identify with the thousands who showed up to Washington. You dig? There's other more thousands of brothers and sisters who identify with the political ideologies of the brothers and sisters who showed up. You dig? Oh, you know Roland saw it. Of course, Roland. Do y'all know Roland's been cursing me out all day? Roland's been cursing me out since last night. I don't think Roland went to sleep last night. Me and Roland been kind of going back and forth. Roland's been cursing me out all damn day. Dude. Roland been talking about the rally. Hold on, let me... Hold on. Roland's just been going off. Oh, my goodness. Hold on. This is Roland just been talking trash. Let me show y'all some of Roland's tweets. Hold on. You want to know why? I'm going to read it in his voice. You want to know why it's dumb to listen to Tariq, Jason Black, Philip Scott, and these other fools who say don't vote? The judge who signed Breonna Taylor's search warrant loses re-election. So he's blaming everything on us, guys. He's blaming us for the judge losing the election. Roland's having a hissy fit. Roland's been blaming me for everything all day, all right? I already knew that was going to happen. Roland's just having a heart attack. Roland's having a seizure. He's just blaming us, blaming me. Oh, Roland hasn't slept. He's been just drinking coffee. I'm taking Red Bulls. Roland just been up hating for 24 hours straight. He's talking about the judge who signed Breonna Taylor's search warrant. She lost the election because of us. Dude, that judge didn't punish nobody. The people who actually killed Breonna Taylor, they didn't get punished. So that's irrelevant. The people who actually killed Breonna Taylor are right here running around free. So what you're saying is inconsequential. But Roland, oh my goodness, Roland is so angry. Hold on, this is another one right here, because I was petty. I said, this is Roland looking at the election results. He's like, guess what you're not getting with Brian Kemp as governor, Tariq Nasheed? Reparations. But you're basking in his victory as if your cause has actually helped. You simple Simons play yourself every time. All right, so Roland is just... Oh, God, he's pissed. Roland is pissed. I'm all types of stupid fools. Roland has just been going after me all day. Roland is so mad. It is okay, Roland. It is okay. You'll get something else going on with yourself. Because they're going to look at Roland like, Roland, you're not galvanizing these Negroes like you said you would. It's this stupid fool. What am I going to do, this stupid fool? Oh, God. Yeah, Roland has been, everybody's been a damn stupid fool all day today. What did Roland say about the rally? Hold on. Because Roland did mention something about the rally. Hold on. What did Roland say? Where is that? Here. Roland was talking about the rally. Somebody mentioned the rally to him. He's like, we had 5,000 watching last night at one time. We were bigger than his rally. He said he had 5,000 people looking at his live, so that was bigger than the rally. I mean, Roland's desperate. Y'all, please check on Roland before he has a damn stroke. Yeah, that rally chapped a lot of people's asses. Yeah, he's hurt. That rally really chapped a lot of people's asses. They were like, how dare you galvanize those people to ask for something at the last minute? Those could have been voters. Those people could have voted our Democratic operatives in. What the hell is wrong with you? Oh, yeah, he's having a meltdown. Family, they're going to be cursing me out all week. Y'all about to see Tariq slander on steroids, guys. you guys are about to see the Tariq slander on steroids. It's coming. It is what it is. Not even tripping on it. I'm not even tripping on it, ladies and gentlemen, because it's important for us to get our messaging out. And when we talk about being serious about getting tangibles for our vote, that's exactly what we're talking about. We want tangibles for our vote. We're not playing games with these folks. They thought we were playing out here. No, we dead ass serious. We are dead serious. You dig? And if y'all don't give us what we want, we don't have to vote for you. In fact, the Republicans, what you got going on over there, Republicans? I'm all ears. Because what y'all not going to do, y'all not going to shame us into, if we listen to what the Republicans have to say, you want to try to shame us. That's the party of white supremacy. Hell, the Democrats is the party of white supremacy. See, I'm not loyal to any party. And the thing is, there's different polls coming out showing that a lot of black folks are starting to look into the Republicans to see what they have to say. Because here's the thing. Yeah, I want reparations, and we definitely want reparations from the Democrats. And they keep saying, well, the Republicans, they gonna give you no damn reparations. But the thing is about the Republicans, they have other things that I like. You see, the Republicans, even though they're not on the reparations wave, they have other things that I like. And the Democrats don't. See, the only thing the Democrats can do for us, because I hate all the Democratic policies right now, the only thing they can do for us out of our loyalty, we've been so damn loyal to them, is write us a damn check. Break some bread. That's all you can do. Because all your other policies are garbage. But with the Republicans, even though they're not about the reparations, what I do rock with the Republicans is closing these damn open borders. I rock with that. Because that means more jobs, more opportunity, more resources to foundational black Americans. I rock with that. I rock with them not putting an abortion clinic an abortion clinic on every other corner. I rock with that. Kind of halting that abortion on every corner nonsense. Now, I rock with that. We don't need abortion clinics on every damn corner where they're just promoting getting an abortion every five damn minutes. No. I rock with that. When the Republicans are saying we don't want to put materials in schools that's going to sexualize children, I'm 100% for that. I'm all for that. I don't want children to get books on the letter B and the B is for bussy. I don't want my kids reading no shit like that. And the Republicans ain't trying to push that. I rock with that. So, yeah, y'all using the boogeyman tactic with the Republicans, that's not going to work. And then yelling about where they ain't going to get reparations, but they got other stuff that I'm rocking with. They got other stuff that sounds good to me. You dig? Yeah, now do something. They have a white supremacy problem just like the damn Democrats. You dig? See, that's the only thing with the Republicans. You know, they embrace some of these damn open white supremacist groups. That's the thing that kind of kills their vibe. To a certain degree. But hell, the Democrats do too, because they let these white supremacists infiltrate police departments in these Democratic run cities. You dig? Let me tell you something. If Trump runs again, which he might, I don't know what the deal is going to be. All Trump has to do is not be all buddy-buddy with racist groups. That's all Trump has to do. All a Republican has to do is not be buddy-buddy with open white supremacist groups. And they will have a leg up. Now, we do want reparations from them, too, at one point. We do want reparations from them at one point. But I can rock with some of their other policies until we get that. You feel me? Hell, Joe Biden, you want to talk about white supremacy? Joe Biden is a white supremacist. You dig? You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm all about policy. I'm all about policy. And the Democratic policies are trash right now. Prioritizing all of these other groups over us, that's trash. Sexualizing our children, that's trash. Using these other buffer groups to attack black people. Remember, it's the white Democrats that's doing all of this stuff, orchestrating this stuff where they're attacking Kyrie. You dig? The white Democrats are orchestrating this stuff where they're putting these Asian hate crime charges on all of these black people. These are your damn liberal buddies, guys. These people are enemies to black society. That's why they can't do nothing but write us a damn check. Every other policy that they offer us is trash, and I ain't with none of it. So yeah, they're not going to shame me for having a more conservative outlook in the political sphere. Because most black people, truth be told, we're conservative to a certain degree. We're conservative to a certain degree. Now, yeah, now look, I'm not giving a pass to some of the right wingers because you have DeSantis and these people out here talking about critical race theory and all. Yeah, yes, you got some bullshit going on. I ain't giving them a pass at all. I'm not giving them a pass at all. But when we look at the pros and cons, the cons really stack up more so with the damn Democrats. You dig? So that's what it is. But again, don't be fooled, man. These people, they tried to ignore the reparations rally. They knew what went down. They saw the impact of it. They saw how codified we were. And they see the impact, and they're feeling the impact of it right now. Don't think for a minute that they are not feeling the impact, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let them fool you. That's why we got to keep doing what we're doing, and we got to stay on code, ladies and gentlemen. You dig? Because we all we got and we all we need. Let me show y'all another clip from the reparations rally. Somebody posted this clip and put some presidential music behind me. That's me right here looking very presidential right here. Hold on. Let me play this clip. I like this clip. They put that presidential music. This is me leaving the event. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
All right. I like that clip right there. I just had to play that. That was at the rally. Beautiful rally. And we're going to have the full presentation of it next week. We're going to show the whole rally. We're going to show all the speakers and everything. We're going to show the speeches. We're going to show a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. All in HD, 4K, we're going to show it because a lot of the clips you see are, you know, usually camera phone stuff, but we filmed everything. We're going to have that out. My editor's working on that now, so that's going to be popping next week, ladies and gentlemen. Family, you know what I need y'all to do, family? To commemorate, because you know what? We put down history. We're going to have, there's going to be an anniversary for this. We ought to, November 5th should be National Reparations Day. This is history. People are going to be, we're going to have an anniversary of this probably in 5 or 10 years. Have an anniversary of November 5th. We got to have an anniversary at some point because this was a historic moment, ladies and gentlemen. Just like they have anniversaries of Selma. Do they ever have anniversaries of the March on Washington? I'm not sure if they do. I know they have the Selma. They have anniversaries for Selma. So we're going to be having anniversaries for this event, man. Because it was a historic event. But what, everybody, do this. Go to the website right below, Rally for Reparations. Go to the website below. Get your t-shirts. Get your commemorative t-shirts right now. Everybody get you a t-shirt if you have not gotten a Rally for Reparations t-shirt. Go to rallyforreparations.com right now. Get a t-shirt, ladies and gentlemen, to pay homage and show love to this historic event. And again, next week, we're going to have the full program video. We're going to put that on YouTube, and you guys are going to be able to enjoy it and love it. But in the meantime, like I said, we want to plan an event for Dallas in the next 6 months so that we can just have a big expo, have a big festive event, just a family event. Have it very casual, just different workshops, entertainment at the end of the night, have some groups come in, y'all throw some names at me, talk to me, let's make this thing happen. All of my black business people, let me know who you are so we can start getting some of the information to you to get registered, to get a vending slot. Let's just make this thing pop off, man. I think this would be a phenomenal idea, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, guys, we had a great conversation tonight. Much respect to you guys. Shout out to Sister Teslin. Shout out to J.A. Shout out to D. Tubman in the room. Again, go to rallyforreparations.com. Also, go to buckbreakingmovie.com. If you have not seen the movie Buck Breaking, get the movie Buck Breaking. Phenomenal movie. The movie American Maroon will be out in a couple of months. And I will holla at you guys a little later. Papi Akute and Lola Vuve to the family. Peace.